morning. Welcome to this service of praise. Welcome to those of you who might be joining us for the first time in this glorious space. My name is the Reverend Karen McBride. Some of you may remember me. I have been a ministry intern here at St. John's before I was ordained, and I'm just delighted to be back with you. Gary Vandermeer is at the parish where I currently serve this morning, at Julian of Norwich, just south of Clyde, facing Maryvale. So we've done a bit of what they traditionally call a pulpit swap. Dear friends, we gather this day on the traditional and unceded territory of the Algonquin Nation. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out to what is before, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask for my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our second reading is from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering, do the work of an evangelist, carry out your ministry fully. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
May God be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'" The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the spoken word be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word. Amen. I think there's something profoundly human about the image of Jacob wrestling through the night. Most of us have known those long, dark hours when the struggle is real and peace feels far away. Jacob's story gives that struggle a vivid imagery. Faith, it turns out, is not always calm or certain. Sometimes faith is a wrestling, a hanging on, even when we can't quite see how things will turn out. Jacob is left alone beside the river, carrying the weight of his past and the fear of what lies ahead. Wrestling with his deceit and his guilt and his anxiety about encountering the next day his brother Esau, who he cheated. And it all comes crashing in at once. And into that very moment of vulnerability, the Holy meets him. Not a distant voice, not an easy reassurance, but a presence close enough to wrestle with and strong enough to hold him through the night. Now, it's easy to imagine that we must wrestle something out of God, that we have to pray hard enough, believe strongly enough, undertake enough good works to win God's blessing. But that is not what this story tells us. The blessing is already being given, even in the struggle. God is with Jacob in the wrestling, not against him. The one who grapples with Jacob is also the one who stays until dawn, who refuses to let go, who marks him with both wound and grace. And that's the mystery of faith. Not that we must fight our way into God's favor, but that God meets us in the most conflicted places, in the most uncertain places, and does not leave. The blessing comes not from winning the struggle, but from discovering that God has been holding us all along. Like Jacob, we may be altered as a result of the struggle, and we may even have a renewed sense of who we are at the end of it. But we will be transformed by God's abiding and unyielding grace if we choose to wrestle with God. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus tells the story of a persistent widow, a woman who refuses to give up until justice is done. And in telling it, Jesus asks, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Faith in this parable isn't about wearing God down with our prayers. It's about a trust that refuses despair. It's a way of living that keeps showing up, keeps praying, keeps believing that God is still at work, even when the answer isn't yet clear. And Paul says the same to Timothy. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. There's endurance in those words, a faith that stays rooted even when times are hard, even when others lose heart. A faith that won't let go is not about certainty. It's about companionship with our God. It's knowing that God is in the thick of it with us. God is not testing our persistence from a distance, but accompanying us in every sleepless night. Every prayer that feels unanswered, every wrestling for meaning and hope. Sometimes that faith looks like Jacob, clinging to God until the dawn breaks. Sometimes it looks like the widow, showing up again and again for justice. And sometimes it looks like Timothy, carrying on faithfully in the work begun before him. And sometimes it looks like us, holding on, not because we have all the answers, but because we trust the one who holds us fast. The good news is that God never lets go first. The blessing is not wrung from God's reluctant hand, but offered freely to those who dare to keep believing, even when the night is long. So if you find yourself wrestling this week, in prayer, in relationships, in uncertainty, remember Jacob. Remember the widow. Remember that the one you wrestle with is also the one who blesses you, who names you, who walks with you into the morning light. Hold on, not to win, but to stay connected. Because the God who meets you in the struggle is the God who will never let you go. Amen.
Loving God, O beauty so ancient yet ever new, our hearts remain restless until they rest in you. We carry within us the ache of things loved and lost, the longing that no created joy can fill. You whisper within our hearts, calling us from the shadows of regret to the quiet of your mercy. Teach us to love what is eternal in all that passes, to cherish our friends in you, and to find in every bond of affection a foretaste of your abiding peace. Creator of all that lives, you breathe your spirit over the waters and call the earth good. Yet we confess that our touch has wounded what you shaped in wisdom. The ground groans under our indifference, the seas swell with our waste, and the air bears the heat of our haste. Heal the wounds we have laid upon your creation, and turn our mourning for the earth into a renewed tenderness for all living things. Spirit of truth and grace, who knits the hearts of believers into one body, strengthen your church in humility and hope. Bless Anne, our metropolitan, Shane, our bishop and primate, Gary, our rector, and Karen, who returns with joy to preside among us today. Renew Alan, Christina, Pat, Barb, Monica, and Nick in compassion and patience. May every act of ministry, however small, be a gesture of reconciliation with you, a reminder that love is never lost when it abides in you. Lord Jesus, companion of the sorrowful, you walk with those who grieve and dwell with those who cannot find rest. We raise before you the sick and the weary, those who wake in the night with pain or fear, and all who tend to them with quiet devotion. Give us the grace to bear one another's burden and to find in compassion the quiet work of your healing love. Lord Jesus, our refuge and our peace, you come not in triumph, but in tears, not to rule over us, but to dwell among us. We lift before you the lands where your children quarrel, where memory is long and mercy is scarce. We pray especially for the fragile peace of Palestine and Israel. Shield it from hatred, protect the innocent, and soften hearts grown hard with grief. Guard every place where vengeance threatens hope, and teach the nations to rest beneath your gentle yoke of peace. Loving Heavenly Father, grant wisdom to those who lead the peoples of the earth. Charles, our sovereign, Mark, our prime minister, Doug and Francois, our premiers, Mark and Maud, our mayors. Give them steadiness of purpose, humility and power, and hearts turned towards mercy. God of grace, for those whom we love but see no longer, we give thanks. In their absence, we learn again that every friendship finds its rest in you. Today, we remember especially those commemorated with flowers given by Brian and Margaret to the glory of God, and in thanksgiving for the lives of Robert and Isabel Cameron, as well as Eileen and Homer Thomas. Comfort those who mourn, and teach us to trust that nothing loved in you is ever truly lost. God of restless hearts and endless grace, lead us through the many turnings of our days until our scattered love is gathered into the one love that never ends. Bring us at last to that peace where every longing finds its rest in you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our peace and our hope. Amen.
As our Savior taught us, let us pray.
Thank you.
And glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, the Sustainer, and the Redeemer, be with you and remain with you this day and always.
Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.